earthquake.
Yeah, that was pretty loud.
Yeah, that was me moving my microphone.
That'll get the attention going.
I'm not sure.
Get you to jump a little bit anyway.
Didn't make me jump, but the headphones on, that was really loud.
Yeah.
Alright, let's see. We got our headphones on, we got our microphones on. It looks like the little fellows are in there chipping away at their stone tablets.
Nice.
So, I'm on the wrong page here. Let me see. Okay. Fishing report pages. We're changing the hours, boys and girls. We are going to be open Monday through Thursday, 7 to 6. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 6 to 6. We have since hired... It's about a matter of division. You know, two reasons we did a lot of hiring lately. One is if we have 50 people come in and you have three people working, you're dealing with, well, if you say 60 people come in and we got three people working, you're dealing with 20 people. But if you have 60 people come in and we have six people working, you're only dealing with 10 people.
Right.
Now, we have the front doors open, the back doors open. We have fans blowing, you know, inside all over the place to keep the air moving. Because what they originally said, this was back at the beginning of all this stuff, was that viruses, you know, if you would get saliva in the air. And basically, when you cough or breathe or sneeze or whatever, you're basically getting saliva out in the air. And when it mixes with the water molecules in a high humidity, it falls to the ground very quickly. So you got a lot of virus on the ground, but you don't have any in the air. So we've been doing that since it started with, we've got Lysol, we got hand wipes, we've got all this stuff. We've been doing this ever since this went. But we shortened the hours up so that people were not exposed to as many people per shift. So we took our first shift and second shift and put everybody into one shift. Now, a couple of the people took a little bit of time off. They've been calling me, you know, what are you doing? What do you want to do? You know, are you going to expand the hours? And so we had a couple people that were unemployed because of the virus thing. So I hired three of them. I think we've hired like six people in the last week. And there's a lot.
Right.
So we have a couple people that have asked me for work overtime. And I said, okay, you know, just because they were nice folks. And we get a couple people coming back. Some people I haven't heard from. But right now we're way overstaffed. But we've been trying to... If somebody needs work, you know, need money. Sorry, I had to take a momentary pause there. And minor little fires all the time. But anyway, we've hired a lot of people. Some of them just because they didn't have work. So, going to be a lot of new faces, new people for you all to talk to and see. And no, I didn't get money from the government. Could have. I'm very lucky from people who can, you know, like the people we just hired, they're having a hard time, you know, getting along and they need money and all that, to one of our regular customers owns three major banks. And when you own three big banks, it would have been very easy to, and they called me and they said, you know, do you want the money? And I said, well, I would rather it go out to people who actually need it. We're doing okay. We're a little slower than last year. We're not making quite as much as we were last year. We're going to be a little bit off. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I think if we can get through this without it costing us money, help a few people out, do all that. If I could find my mouse, I'd be much, much happier here. Because I can't start this until I find my mouse. Yep, there it is. Got it. Okay. Let's see. Anyway, that's what we're doing. And, you know, we all work a little bit together. We have give and take a little bit. And we've got some people that are in full mask and complete regalia. We've got other people that really don't have anything. And, you know, I guess I'm just one of those that figure, when I was a kid, we had measles, mumps, chicken pox, polio, all that stuff. And then we had SARS and MERS and H1N1 and the bird flus and all that. I'm kind of one of those where if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. If I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it. I don't think there's an option for me. Just, you know, it's kind of like the priest who's taking donation monies. And he said, well, you give so much of that to God. He says, yeah, I do. He says, I throw it up in the air. Whatever God wants to keep, he keeps.
You nice. Know? Nice.
So, very poor attempt at humor. I guess we ought to get into the Fisher Report, because if I had to make a living at a comic, I'd be dead. I'd be starving. I'd be 80 pounds shriveled up in the corner. So I'm not going to make a living as a comedian, so we can start.
Okay.
So where do we start?
I think we should probably start in the Upper Peace River like normal.
Oh, keep that just routine like normal. Going. Okay.
Hey, it's the only kind of normal we got going on right now.
God, ain't that the truth? You know, from the fishing, it was so good because everything was stable. Right. Wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold, it just stable weather. And as soon as you start throwing fronts in the mix, the fishing is going to get iffy. Because you don't know, are the fish going shallow? Are they going deep? Are they going to the canals? Are they going towards the Gulf? Well, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And so from the fishing to life and everything else, it's, you know, throw it up in the air and see what sticks to the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's going on in Peace River?
Let's see. They have been catching some bigger tarpon up there, like from the Navigator up to the 761 bridge. Most of the guys up there are doing it, or, you know, they're regulars. They know what they're doing. They're throwing catfish tails mostly. And then there has been some juveniles from the Navigator down and over to Shell Creek, with a few snook thrown in the mix here and there. But overall, you know, the other species have kind of fizzled out this week as far as reports go. The tarpon right there on that straightaway going up towards the big turn to go to the trestle on Shell Creek, that seems to be where the little tarpon are at mostly, you know, in that 20 to 40 pound range.
All right, well, take us down to I-75.
No, been a couple of black drum. Actually, you know what? I forgot. There has been still a couple of black tips being caught up there by the Navigator also.
Okay, let me go back up.
Sorry about that. I just remembered that. A couple of black tips and a couple baby bull sharks. Because the same guy's been catching some of those fish too at 75.
Yeah, we've had... We went up to Navigator, had lunch. It was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I haven't been up there since the new owners took over, what, a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they took over, and it's a lot better now.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Good. Yeah, I haven't been up there in literally a couple, 3 years or better.
Well, when Doug and Mary were here, we couldn't go out to Cabbage Key or to any of the ones on the islands, you know, the tarpon right. and stuff and all that. So we ended up going up to the Navigator. Worked out nice.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. It was a nice experience.
Okay. One of these days
now,
I'll check it out.
Are you going to go there and get quick service and everything's going to happen right away? No.
No.
But is it reasonable now? Yes.
There you go.
And the food was... They had a grouper sandwiches that were pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
So, little plug for the Navigator. Nice people. All right, let's see. Some black tip sharks, I-75.
Yep, a few black drum of assorted sizes. And then they've also been catching a couple of whiting. Not very many, but a few. That's what the one guy really was trying to catch, and he ended up catching five or six. But he said he worked hard at it.
Going down to 41.
Now, let's see, you got... a lot of different stuff going on there. Most of the guys are fishing on their boats. They have to.
Well, there's no other way to fish it there. You can go down to Darst and fish off the boat ramp there at Darst.
Right.
And I would say you'd probably get a real good shot at some redfish or snook off the dock at Darst.
There you go. But there's been snook and tarpon in the evenings and in the early mornings down there at the bridge. And then they have caught a few Spanish mackerel and a couple of assorted sharks there also. You know, the weird part is I haven't gotten any reports of any black drum, any snapper, none of that this week down there. It's pretty bizarre.
What are you talking about?
The 41 Bridge.
Oh, okay. You're right. All right, so, yeah, that's what screwed me up. I was writing Darst there.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm on the wrong thing. I think I thought we were still at I-75. I'll go back and put that in up there.
Gotcha.
With tarpon at the bridge, some sharks, and Spanish mackerel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get confused here lately.
It's because you only got a million irons in the fire right now at the moment, and some of them are poking you on the hot side. Don't know why.
Yeah, it's just a little different.
Hey, own your own business. You'll love it. You'll be able to do anything you want and have all this spare time, money. How's that working out?
Yeah. It's funny, but, you know, we do it a little differently because all the employees get paid, the rent gets paid, the electric, all the supplier bills get paid, and if there's anything left over, I get paid. But I don't take a regular check for me. And I think, you know,
that's why you're able to survive this.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons, you know, we were lucky enough that we stayed open and, you know, short hours and got through all that. But the other thing is, we learned years and years and years and years ago that at any given moment we might not have an income,
right?
For days, weeks, months, you know, red tides, hurricanes, yada, yada. I mean, there are so many things that can go wrong if you own a bait shop or any business in Florida.
Yeah.
And I mean, the same thing could be held true from Florida, Mississippi, out, you know, anywhere around
the Gulf states,
the Gulf or the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're anywhere near the coast and you're not prepared for days, weeks, or months worth of shutdowns, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. Because anytime, anything can happen. I mean, look at Charlie. We 5 months, we had no money, no nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And there was nobody giving me money or big unemployment stuff. What the heck were the Democrats thinking? Paying people more money to go on unemployment than they got on their check.
Right.
Was this a ploy to get people not to want to go back to work?
Pretty much.
I mean, I'm not, this isn't trying to be Republican, Democrat, because I'm a hardcore independent. I don't really like either one of the political parties. But in this case, I just wondered why that happened. It was just weird. Why would you pay people more? Pay them their full salary, I think, is an awesome idea. But more than they get when they were at work?
No. Doesn't make sense.
What was that about? I just don't understand it. You know,
no.
I think it's great for people. I know a couple people that really helped out a lot. But, you know, they're gonna stay in unemployment until the very end.
Yes. What is that, until June or something they're calling for this?
I think it's 2 months or 4 months or something like that.
Something crazy.
You know, it was a nice idea, but literally one of the dumbest freaking ideas I've ever heard. Why would you pay somebody more money not to go to work? It makes no sense. There's nothing. And work is the best thing to happen to people. And I don't care what anybody says. Work is one of the best things you will ever do. I had a time when I was very young where I was 1 month on welfare. There was literally no work back in the 70s. And I heard about a job in Florida, tying steel. And I packed up, I went and told them, I'm out of here. Take me off your rolls. I can't stand this. It screwed my head. And I mean, it was at least 50, 40 some years ago. And it still bothers me that I had to do that. Still turns my stomach I had to do that.
Right.
And I mean, I never forgot that month. But it's probably a good thing because, you know, changes who you are.
Yeah, it gives you a whole new perspective on things, that's for sure.
I think I've drawn unemployment a couple of times in my life. I usually just go find another job.
Right. Exactly. That's why you're a man of many hats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true.
One way to put it. Lashley Pier.
Honestly, I've got no reports off there this week.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything going on. I know there's been a bunch of people fishing there. But,
yeah.
Pier's still closed at Bayshore.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do we warranty Savage gear rods?
Hang on just a second, boys and girls. I got a warranty question. Okay. Another thing coming down. The question we got was, do we warranty Savage rods? Savage lures have come out with a line of rods. And yes, they do have a one-year in-store warranty on them. So they got a couple cool ones. Those white rods are real nice. A little spendy, but nice. About $200.
Yeah, they're pretty, but they are pretty sporty.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn if it's worth $200 or not. I can buy a Reaper for $170, and it's an awesome freaking rod that I know. I'm just not sure that that Savage is a $200 rod. If it was like $140, I'd be kind of all in on it.
Yeah.
But at $200, I'm kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'd rather get a Reaper.
Yeah, I'd rather have the Reaper for $200. You know, I know the rod. I know what it'll do. I love the actions on them and stuff.
It's local.
Yeah, they're made right here in Punta Gorda. It's American components, and you know, nothing against import rods because I sell a lot of them.
Right.
In my theory on import rods, when a company leaves the U.S. and goes overseas, everybody in the world deserves a job. Even if you're in China, let's face it, we can't hold the government of a country against the people of the country. Because most of the people I've ever met traveling the world, they want a job, they want to enjoy their family, they're pretty much, no matter who they are.
Right.
I mean, I've met Muslims, and I mean, some of the people I've never got to hear from again was a couple of guys who owned a bait shop outside of Baghdad. These were awesome people, and when the war started, I never heard from them again. But then I quit working in Europe. I quit my job, so I always met him at the trade shows in Europe. So I don't know whatever happened to him. But I didn't see him at the trade shows after that either. But, you know, and it's pretty much everybody around the world, no matter who you are. There's always weirdos in every country. Look, there's weirdos in this country. There's weirdos in every country.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to take something out of the U.S. and go somewhere, I want better warranties. I want lower prices. I want it to be worth our while that somebody here is not making money.
Right.
Now, somebody else is making the money, but where's the trade? Where's the benefit? And that benefit is a lower cost on the rod, more extended warranties, you know, give us something for that.
Right.
And the reason one of them went was because there was literally nobody left here. Star rods were made in Miami for decades. And all the old women, the old Spanish women, and it was all women building them. And they slowly retired, and they couldn't get anybody to work. They literally ran out of people willing to put rods together. So they ended up having to go overseas. They didn't have a choice, but the prices went down, the warranties got better, everything worked good. So it was a nice trade. But then we've seen other companies go overseas, and all of a sudden now we're putting up with, you know, overseas quality and higher prices and all that.
Yeah.
We've literally thrown them out of the store. We won't sell their products. You know, it's not fair. You take American jobs and you take them overseas, and then what do we get? Higher prices and lower quality?
Right.
Yeah. Get away. So, anyway, enough of that. Port Charlotte Beach canals?
Well, let's see. It's still dead behind the house, but there has been some nicer mangrove snapper all over the canals. They've been catching 12, 13, even a couple of 14-inch mangs. The jacks have been coming through all the canals pretty regularly. Most of them are smaller, under 5 pounds. And then the snook have been doing fairly decent. A lot of guys that are trolling on their way in or out have been picking up quite a few snook. And then the juvenile tarpon are still scattered throughout East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake, and up the O'Hara Canal, especially where it opens up into that whatever lake thing that they call it.
Oh, yeah. LGB and Pier is closed.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And Myakka River area in general?
Well, let's see. Right around the bridge there, you've got some tarpon, some snook, been a couple of sharks. But as you work your way down to the north end of the Hog Island,
yeah,
there is a bunch of snook in there. And quite a few of those fish, I think, are starting to move out of the canal system, so I don't know how much longer they're going to be there with this warmer weather. But there's been some pretty sizable fish in there in the high 30s, low 40s, which is not too bad.
Oh, I didn't even tell Terry this, but I got a contact with the FWC. I forgot all about it till just now when you started saying big snook. I'm going to be on some advisory board for the FWC.
Yeah, the reward advisory committee. Yeah, the
reward advisory committee.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I let you know
about that the other day, so you got to talk to him.
Yeah, so I'm going to be on that.
Nice.
And they've got somebody who's supposed to take new ideas, and I'm going to just... I said, this is what I'm going to tell her, and this is what she's going to say. And if she doesn't say that, I said, I'll be really impressed. But I said, I'll bet you... Didn't want to say what I was betting with the FWC officer, but I said, I'll bet you this, that this is what she says, because they've been telling me that garbage since the 80s.
Yeah.
I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing 1980s eco stuff. It's 2020. We can at least try something new.
Absolutely.
If they're not going to even try, I'm going to continue to blast them, because the people that are appointed... I'm going to get a hold of DeSantis and see if I can get appointed to the FWC board. Because I know for a fact they have nobody from the, you know, bait shops in there.
No. Be lucky if any of them are fishermen.
Be lucky if any of them can tie their shoes without a diagram.
No, they probably have Velcro shoes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're Velcros and slip-ons.
Yeah. That would be a pretty good guess.
All right, going up South Gulf Cove.
A lot of tilapia. A lot of guys buying worms, going in there and fishing for the big tilapia, 3, 4, 5 pound tilapia. One guy cleaned house the other day. Between him and his kids, they got like 18 tilapia. He said the biggest one was like 5 pounds. But they had a field day. They only caught a couple Mayan cichlids, but they did catch a lot of tilapia.
On worms, spinners?
Yeah, on worms. He said his kids just had a field day. They kept catching little teeny tiny guys and a couple small bluegill, but they caught some really big tilapia. He was supposed to email you the picture.
And he might have. I haven't checked my email yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. It was him with two kids, and he had a pile of tilapia in front of him with just big smiles. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
It's amazing how good the tilapia fishing has been this year compared to years past. It's like people are finally figuring it out.
Yeah, well.
It's just awesome. You know, it's nice to see some of the evolution of things like that, you know, when you're trying to teach it and learn it at the same time. Because for years, we didn't know exactly how to target them consistently.
Right.
You know, and as we learned, we started sharing it, and to see that evolve and go uphill, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. We had, what the heck is this? A, letter A, and then the next word is A-T-O-O-F-O, snook. And it's supposed to be a lot
of...
I have no idea how I got it. I mean,
1,000 irons in the fire and a couple of them are poking you.
No. It's just, you know, when I'm typing it, you know, I'm typing away and I don't pay any attention. The only thing I pay attention now is where the B and the N are. Other than that, I don't pay any more attention. You know, I don't care.
I don't post many things where I actually write words on Facebook, but I still, when I type them out, I have to go back and double check it, triple check them, then I look at it, and after I post it, I'm like, oh crap, how do I change this? I screwed this up again, you know?
Yeah. So, all right, West Wall.
Mostly on the southern part of the West Wall. I haven't heard much up on the upper end. It's all been a lot of redfish, a whole lot of snook moving. They're in little groups, 2 to 20 fish. And then there's been some sharks on top of the bar, along with a few tarpon on top of the bar, like bigger tarpon. And then the Spanish mackerel have been just on the outside edge of the bar, two on top of the bar, depending on the wind direction. Been a lot of little glass minnows over there and small bait fish. So a lot of guys are going over there and looking. They were looking for tarpon all earlier this week, and then they kind of did a disappearing act, but ended up getting into some nice Spanish, and then, of course, moved to the bushes and saw all the snook. Talking to Danny the other day, he said the tarpon flat out disappeared on him on Monday. He actually had one of his locals hire him because he lost almost all the month of May.
Right. Well, who wants to fly into an area that's closed?
Right.
And technically, charters were closed.
Right. So, you know, he took him out and he's like, yeah, the tarpon are doing great. Took him out. He drove around for 3 hours looking for tarpon and ran all the way up the river.
What I don't get about they close down party boats.
Right.
Give me a break. If they want to go out with a half, you know, with 10 social
people.
Distancing, let them go out with social distancing. And if you want to hire somebody on a boat, they say groups of no more than 10 people.
Right.
And then they say you can't open a barbershop or a hair salon or a tattoo parlor, but yet they say you can be in a group with 9 other people, but with a hairstylist or whatever, they say that 2 people together is too many.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Now,
10 people on a 20-foot long boat.
You know.
Really?
you can't have more than 6 people on a 6-pack charter boat.
Right.
So that's 7 people all together. So even if they book the most, not just 2 or 3, it's still less than 10.
Right.
And I hear this where they talk about, well, this shouldn't open and that shouldn't open because they got to be together with them. I'm like, you said no more than 10. You didn't say a group of 2.
Right.
So why is that a problem?
It's completely, the hypocrisy of all this is just mind-boggling.
I don't think it's hypocrisy. I think it's just a lack of thinking. Okay, if you have a barbershop with, say, 2 barbers and 2 customers, that's 4 people.
Right.
Right? It's not 10.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference if you got 2 people in there, 2 guys working and 2 customers? Now, granted, it's very close quarters, and the one guy was really smart. Now, Terry was telling me, the wife said, the one guy came up with a thing. They bought those disposable ponchos.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're outside, they haven't put that poncho over them. And then they go in, they get their hair cut, and they just leave with the poncho on.
Well, there you go.
You couldn't get any safer than that. I mean, you might as well encase them in a condom at that point.
Right. You pretty know. Much. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's like a body condom. That's, I mean, what more do you want?
No, that's really pretty good.
So, I don't, you know, you can argue back and forth about all this stuff. And yes, we have to stay apart. And we have to do this. And I'm trying to decide if I'm going to cut my beard and mustache back, but it's been kind of like my mask.
Right.
I figure if I just wash that every once in a while, I'm washing it out.
Right.
And let's face it, if anything, nothing's getting through this mustache and beard. You know, every time I drink coffee, I carry it around for 15 minutes with me. So, I don't know. Anyway, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Muddy Bay's got a lot of snook and redfish in it. I got a 30-inch redfish out of there, and he caught 2 other smaller ones and saw a lot of snook. He could only catch the smaller snook, but he saw a lot of snook in there. And then up on top of Cape Hayes, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, a couple of oddball trout, a couple of little bluefish, and that's about it. Just kind of a hodgepodge up there. A lot of people out there fishing right now, you know, like you were talking about, a lot of people out of work or whatever, and they're just boating all over the place. It's funny.
Yeah.
Everyone's like thinking, well, the captains will be out, so the fishing will get a lot better. It's like, I don't know. I think there's 20 times more people fishing on the water than there was when there was just charter captains running around.
Yeah. Now they don't have anybody to follow.
Right. This is true.
So the fishing isn't going to be as good because they're not going to be able to follow the captains around all day.
Good point. That's a really good point. I like that.
All right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Let's see, you got snook, redfish, a few trout, but not very many. The sheep's head have started to move out of there, pretty good numbers, but the mangrove snapper is starting to move in. And then there's been a handful of tarpon and quite a few assortments of sharks, from black tips, black nose, lemons, bowls. Kind of a mixed variety. I haven't heard too much of bonnet heads, but there's been just a good variety of sharks around through there. And the water is super, super clear. So guys are coming in and buying as light as 20 pound fluoro to go fish some of those snook. But most of the guys are using a much longer leader and making longer casts to try to get those fish to cooperate. One guy said it looked like he was just fishing in his swimming pool because he said it was just so beautiful and clear back there.
Well, this is a good time to social distance from your fish.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's a good one. I like that.
We're going to have to social distance away from the fish because they're going to see you. They get scared. So
absolutely.
This is the time of year for your 7.5 foot rods, your 8 foot rods.
Yep.
Light line, light leader, and long rods. Mm-hmm. So I use a very small reel. I mean, I'm going to go down to like a 2,000. I'm going to put 10-pound braid on it or less, but usually 10 because there's not a lot of difference between 6 and 10-pound braid.
Right.
But I put 10-pound braid on it. I use a small diameter reel that where the line can come off. I make sure it's really full. Now, when I go to throw with that long rod, I got a small diameter spool so it comes off, goes through the guides real easy, quick. And the lighter the line, the easier it is for distance. The longer the rod, the more distance you're going to get. And people tend to get a big rod. They want to put a big reel on it. And or, you know, okay, I got an 8 foot rod. I want to put a bigger reel on it. No, you want to downsize that reel so that as it comes off of the spool, that loop, as small as it can be, hits the guides, shoots out as fast as possible.
There you go.
This is a time for long rods, light line, and light small reels.
I like that.
So, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Lots of Spanish mackerel, a handful of sharks. And the sharks have been from 3 foot to like 7 foot. So, kind of a mixed variety, but I haven't heard of anything else other than those two things.
All right, Gasparilla Sound.
Oh, geez. That's all over the place. You got snook, redfish, been some mangrove snapper. Tarpon, Spanish mackerel, sharks. I mean, that whole area, backside of Boca, all through Whidden Bay, Bull Bay, or Whidden Bay, Turtle. Jeez, how?
Gotcha.
Catfish Creek.
All right.
How am I doing? It's
how
just,
about
it's pretty
Placida
good.
Placida Pier's closed.
Yes. Yep, but the trestle itself has been. The boaters have been catching some bigger mangrove snapper there the last couple of days, along with some nice Spanish mackerel. And I would think over the next couple of days, the tarpon fishing will probably get good right there around the bridge and out through Gasparilla Pass, just because we're kind of on the new moon. And the crabs were flowing yesterday afternoon, so I think they'll be pretty good the next couple of days.
Well, let's jump up to Lemon Bay.
Snook, been a few redfish underneath some of the docks up in there, and then the lizard fish are moving back in again. I got several guys that caught a bunch of lizard fish in there. You know, they were kind of perplexed, but it's been a little while since we've had one of those. Other than that, I got nothing else, no trout, no tarpon, nothing. I don't know why that's been so quiet lately.
Well, the fronts really screw up that shallow water. And Lemon Bay is so shallow. As soon as you get a front that goes through, the fish get all screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, when the weather had straightened out and it was nice and steady and there wasn't a lot of fronts, or, you know, there was no fronts and the weather was steady, Lemon Bay got real good.
Yeah.
But I think the average depth in Lemon Bay is probably 2 foot. So as soon as you get a front comes through, you're done.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to affect the fishing in there.
No, that's just going to be crazy. Okay. I'm going to call the county this week and see if they can call Lee County and see if they can't get the piers open. And I'm going to tell them if they want, we'll go out there with yellow tape, measure everything off, and do a 6 foot distance, a 4 foot, a 6 foot, a 4 foot, so that, you know, people know, you know, okay, don't be here, you can be here.
Right. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
We could mark off the spacing for them on the piers if they want, you know. I'm sure I could find some red tape and some yellow tape and just put red tape, don't be here, yellow tape, you can be here, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You know, just mark off the social distancing spots. You know, but it doesn't really matter what happens in Sarasota County, but if Lee County, if we open up and Lee doesn't, we're just going to be flooded with people from Lee County.
Right.
And that's what happened before. That's why they closed the piers, is they were just way overcrowded.
Yeah.
All right. Venice, I think it's all closed.
Yeah, it's closed up. And boy, they're geniuses with that Sarasota County with what they're doing. That was.
What are they doing?
They're opening the beaches this weekend.
Right.
In all of Sarasota County. But they are not opening any of the parking in any of the public facilities. So basically, they're hoping that people park in neighborhoods and get towed away and make revenue off of that. I mean.
Maybe they're thinking people ride their bikes there or something.
Maybe, but no beach chairs, no coolers. It's no beach chairs, no coolers.
That's what they did in Jacksonville. They want people to walk around on the beach, but they don't want them to, put out blankets and lay there.
Right. I just don't understand why they wouldn't allow them to park.
I think they're hoping people come by bicycle.
Yeah, but...
And if you can't park, it'll eliminate people coming from other areas.
Because that way the people
around the local area can walk down or bicycle down.
It was just my first initial thought on that was like, great. So the beach is accessible to the people that already live on the beach. Nice, thanks.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
But that was just my first thought.
You would have a few block area, you know, within a few blocks where people could walk down and
right. Do
stuff like that or ride their bicycles down.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest problem is when one county opens and another one doesn't, everybody flocks to the open county.
Right.
And so thereby doubling and tripling, increasing the problems.
Sure. Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. It's like a dry county. Hey, I'm going to go over there and get it anyway.
Right. Well, if you're in a dry county and you can't buy booze in that county, you go over to the county next to you to buy your booze.
Right.
And I lived in a dry county for a while. And, you learn to really enjoy moonshine at that point because it's the only thing that you can get in a dry county is illegal booze.
Right.
So you buy illegal booze or you drive into the next county.
Yeah.
Gulf of Mexico.
It's honestly been so windy, I haven't gotten many reports, but I did get two that I feel 100% comfortable with. There's a guy went out, was it Sunday morning? I don't know. Sometime this past week. He got king mackerel in 60 feet of water along with several Spanish mackerel. They had three fish break off that they were pretty sure were king mackerel because of the way they ran. And then another guy did okay on some grouper in about 75 feet of water, but he said it got so windy that he managed to catch two between him and his three buddies, and they called it and came back in. He said they didn't get the fish for about 45 minutes.
Okay. The beach is open this week. Closed yet.
Monday, that'll be the 27th.
Monday, the 27th. Okay. I'm just going to copy and paste. I want to type it again.
Well, it's my sister's birthday today. I called her and said happy birthday. She said to say hello and hope you're doing well.
Think I am. I don't know for sure. Anything in any of the passes?
Tarpon. A lot of tarpon and a whole lot of sharks eating the tarpon. Captiva Pass and Boca Grande Pass, both. That was a yesterday report from two different people from the day before that were out there fishing. and the tarpon were feeding on crabs in the afternoon, and they were catching, one guy caught one on a shrimp in the morning and then caught the other one on a swim bait.
Okay. Sanibel?
There's tarpon off of Knapp's Point, but it's been so windy that the guys are having a hard time getting them, but they're eating thread fins. McCafferty was telling me that this morning. Just a bunch of snook and a few redfish. It's been pretty quiet down there on report wise.
All right, Pine Island Sound.
That's been really good. Spanish mackerel, a lot of different sharks, been some good tarpon down throughout that whole area. And then the snook and redfish are doing pretty decent. And a guy said he caught two flounder down there the other day. He said they're both small, but it shocked him because they both came out of the same spot. On white bait, little hole. Like, that's pretty strange. It's just funny how those go in little spurts with that. Water is super clear down there too. It might have got stirred up a little bit yesterday with that south wind, but they were all talking about how clear it is that you could see the sharks and the tarpon from 50 to 100 yards away.
North end of Pine Island, Boquilla, Jug Creek.
Got nothing over there this week.
Burnt Store, Two Pines?
A lot of snook. That whole flat below Burnt Store has got a lot of snook moving all over it.
Yeah, they're all getting ready to spawn.
Yep. Morris was telling me yesterday, he said that there's a lot of fish going through the passes. He said it's pretty amazing how many big fish have already hit the beaches.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, where's all the snook and all that? I said, well, May and June, that's when they want to go out and make babies. You know, right. They're going to leave the river. They're going to leave the canals. And this rain was really good timing.
Yes, it was.
You'd be surprised how many people don't realize that snook have to spawn in salt water in order for their eggs to float.
Right.
They will spawn in fresh water, but the eggs are not as viable. They're going to sink in fresh water. Now, if you have a good mineral content, all these things play a part in it.
Right.
You know, where the eggs are going to stay somewhat buoyant, and not all the eggs, if they sink, any ones that are kind of on the top are still going to be viable eggs, but as soon as they go into the mud, they're not. So right. The basic difference is, in salt water, almost all the eggs become viable. In fresh water, you lose a percentage of the eggs because some of them get just stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And they're not going to live there.
Get smothered in a little bit of silt and debris on the bottom because, you know, they're not a nesting fish. A lot of saltwater fish are not nesting fish. They rely on currents and tides to keep their, and the high salinity to keep their eggs moving around and buoyant.
So if they're lucky enough and they spawn over, like, say, a gravel area, a lot of the eggs would stay very viable.
Mm-hmm.
But if they spawn over a muddy bottom or a very sandy, silty bottom, those eggs are going to be trapped down in the mud and the silt, and they're just going to die.
Yep.
Before they're even born. They just hatch out and they're dead.
Yep.
So that's the difference. The snook, because of they don't need the salt to survive, really. But if you have a certain mineral content, you know, and all that, they live pretty good. But it's the breeding process that gets knocked back. It's not that they can't breed or don't breed in it. It's just the eggs are not as viable.
Right.
Boy, that phone is loud.
It is.
All right. East side, what's going on?
Let's see. There's snook scattered, moving all over the place. Been a handful of redfish over there. And then there's been some tarpon and a couple of small cobia on the outside edge of the bar. A couple of Spanish mackerel also mixed in with them over there too. I guess there's been some schools of thread fins, like tarpon-sized thread fins over there just on the outside of the bar. Some of the guys have been cast netting or sabiquing, and they're saying they're seeing fish mixed in with them all over the place. But if you find the thread fins, you'll probably find some other fish, but other than that, they said it's kind of very scattered.
From where I sit, there's that big fan up there they got blowing the air around in that office. Mm-hmm. It always looks like Chandler standing there because that's about how tall he is when he comes through, and it's just, you know, he's got that big mass of hair and all that other kind of stuff. And I keep looking up because it's, you know, the gray thing there. And it,
quick glance.
I keep thinking Chandler's walking up.
That's funny.
I mean, the saltwater Sasquatch.
I can see that. Right.
Yeah. All right. They were talking about, Steve said he's the minority, and then Steve says, no, I'm the minority. I got one leg. I'm the only one in here with one leg. Steve says, well, I'm the only black one working here. And then I said, well, wait a minute. I think Chandler's got this. I think there's only one of him.
Yeah, definitely.
They were arguing who is the minority in the store. Like,
pretty funny.
No, I don't think you guys are in minority. You're all pretty weird.
Yeah. Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, I think we could just call it good on, okay, you're one of the multiple weird ones, and yeah, all right. You know, I don't think you could, they're all pretty unique, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, all right, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink, anything like that?
Jacks. Just had a couple guys say they caught some jacks and a couple of small snook fishing off their docks back there. Or not, I haven't had anything else for feedback.
Okay, Ponce de Leon.
You know, I haven't gotten anything there this week.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
I don't understand it, because the people are fishing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people fishing it, but I just haven't heard anything about it.
No, it's really weird.
All right, Ponce de Leon, or Punta Gorda Isles.
A lot of jacks still up inside there, quite a few small snook. And then there has been a couple guys catching the juvenile tarpon, especially on the lights at night. There's two kids in here yesterday that said that they've been putting an average of one tarpon to the boat, but putting three or four each night in the air fishing all those lights. And some of the lures he was picking out was pretty obscure. He picked out a 6-inch spool tech, a 4-inch spool tech. A couple of big Rapalas, like the 10s.
Yeah.
And him and his buddy said, oh, we're having no problems catching snook on these. And I'm like, because he's asking me what I would use for snook, and I showed him the twitch stick, which he said, oh, I just bought that the day before. What else would you throw? And I said, well, what are you using? And he's telling me, oh, we're wearing them out on this, and this. I said, underwater lights or above lights? He says, both. He said, we're catching them on every light that we come across. I'm like, how weird is that?
Well, you know what might be? It might be they're getting used to the lights. It's been a number of years now.
Maybe.
And these kids, if they're throwing and just on the outside of the light with those big baits, that might actually be a really good trick.
Yeah.
Because if you throw it through the middle of the light, kind of know they're going to spook off from it.
Right.
But if you're casting that just coming in on the very edge of the light, that might be, honestly, the best thing to use. I didn't think about it, but that could get their attention, make them either come off of the light or out of the shadow, where they get that glimpse of it and go bang it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
No, I mean, I definitely like the theory, because it had me scratching my head, because him and his buddy were the first ones that have convinced me that they were really catching fish consistently on all this hopscotch of bigger lures than the normal. So it's like, huh. Because you always hear that one guy, I caught one snook on this and one snook on that. And it's like, yeah.
But I kind of think if they just kiss the light with it, but who knows? Maybe these fish now are
getting a little accustomed.
Or something. It might be time to try the big stuff. And, you know, they're using really big stuff, not the 3-4-inch stuff. So it may be, and I'm musing this over here, you know, just trying to think. It's not a sarcastic statement. It's sure. not this. It's just maybe the key is very small or very large.
Right.
Now, it might not be that it is the thing, but we throw these tiny, tiny, tiny lures at it.
Right.
And when we throw the mid-size stuff, you know, the Twitch Stick Styes and, you know, the 08 Rapalas, the 10 Rapalas, they're not going for them.
Right.
But what if you either do very small or 6 inches or larger?
Right. One extreme to the other. Kind of like that idea.
Maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't line in with what these kids are doing, and maybe they're bringing it right through to light, but it's big enough where, okay, gets the fish interested.
Yeah. No, that's got some promise to it.
That actually sounds more promising, because I know those kids probably aren't throwing on the edges of the light. I mean,
I doubt it.
They want to throw right in the middle of the light. Yeah. You know what I mean? They want to throw past it, drag it right through the light, because yeah. that's where they see the fish.
Look at them. Yeah.
And maybe you either got to go very tiny or very big.
I don't like that idea.
I mean, I've never thought of it. I never thought about doing it, because mostly what I threw was all my normal snook lures.
Right.
I never tried a monster lure.
Right. Exactly. You
know, never tried anything big.
Well, and enough people have always tried the normal snook stuff, so it's always been that mid-sized lure. And with no success, but you don't hear of anybody trying the bigger stuff, so maybe that is a key.
Maybe that's like going back in the 80s, we used all that 6-inch plus stuff on snook. We right. never used the little stuff on them. But then again, we weren't trying for slot fish either, but, so.
No, I like that idea. That's promising.
We need to give that some further consideration here, you know, that maybe very tiny or very large.
Yeah.
From tiny to, you know, go 5-6 inches, 8 inches, whatever, big stuff. All right, Gilcrest Pier.
And nothing.
Actually, a couple jacks and a few whiting.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I was talking to a couple guys who were fishing over there. They were asking me about where they could go, and I said, listen, you want to go where nobody goes, go over to Gilcrest. I said, let me know what happens.
There and you go.
What they got. So
perfect.
Alligator Creek Reef. The reef at Alligator Creek for 500, Alex.
Spanish mackerel. That is the only thing I've heard of there.
Okay. Oh, God, that was really bad.
I don't know why, but that's...
The deep holes in the harbor?
There were tarpon in it, and I'm sure they're going to pop back into it, but it's mostly been Spanish mackerel and sharks last couple of days anyway. Tarpon or new moon and heading out to that pass.
Okay, freshwater fishing.
Oh, let's see, tilapia. Tilapia been a ton of people's minds, and then the bass fishing, of course. You know, shiners and worms. I mean, worms for the tilapia and the shiners for the bass. Even the guys have slowed down a little bit on the worms and stuff like that. One guy bought a spinnerbait earlier. And then he was also... He bought split rings because he was going to hook up wacky style, because he said that's what he saw was to use a gasket. So I had to show him... Actually, you came over while I was showing him the little O-rings. He misinterpreted O-rings for split rings.
Yeah, go through that a lot. It's what takes one of the longest things to work here. We usually figure somebody's got to be here about 2 years before we can leave them alone on a shift, because they're not going to get all the different questions and all the different... It's just too much different stuff to try and figure out for a normal human, you know. And after about 2 years, you can answer most of the questions.
Right.
You know.
No, they do. You know, it's just kind of neat. That's always fun when you figure out what they're trying to talk about. Cause sometimes they're not even sure what they're describing to you, and then it's
You got to learn to translate.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the bass been hitting?
mostly just the shiners. A couple of spinner baits have sold and a couple oddball packs of worms, but...
Yeah, I've been doing the ribbon tails and shiners.
Yeah. Yeah, the shiners definitely seem to be the key thing. Wonder if there's any spill dams running after all that rain last night. Bet you that would be a good place to be at today.
I don't know if we had enough rain to get them.
Yeah, I don't know if we did either, because on the way into work today, there was like hardly any standing water anywhere.
We actually had quite a bit of... let's see if I can get on the website here quick and see what happened with the river. It was kind of an indication, but the water was 4 to 5 feet down.
Yeah.
3 to 5 feet minimum.
Yeah.
So that's just... You know, when you're dealing with 3 to 5 feet of water, you know, you got to have a lot of rain.
Substantial
to make up.
Amount, yeah.
Let's see. I should be able to get something on that chart. Well, we did. We picked up. It's almost 2 feet now. We're up to 185 cubic feet per second. We were at 84 yesterday.
Wow.
So we picked up 100 cubic feet per second and almost a foot of water. So not enough to do anything with.
No.
To be quite honest. That doesn't change anything.
Not really.
Not till we hit about 300 cubic feet per second. All right. So going for the tarpon map here. There it goes. All right. Brush. Size. Red dots.
Boca Grande and Captiva. Definitely.
Any other red dots?
No.
Any yellow dots?
The beaches and the intercoastal.
Okay. Knapp's Point?
Yep. Knapp's Point all the way up to, I'd say, definitely Gasparilla Pass. And then the same thing on the inside. Right there.
Right. Just all the way down the intercoastal?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the only thing I've heard hodgepodge about in the last couple of days.
What's the deep holes in the harbor going to be?
I think that's going to be a 50-50 over the next couple of days.
White and yellow?
Yeah. White. Because the white's the 50-50.
White's a chance. Yellow's 50-50.
I'd go with the chance.
I did the white. I'll put a couple of yellows in there.
Maybe that area of the straits down there might be the better of the 50-50.
All right. I was... You mean the like on the hill?
Yeah, from the marker 5 out through the hill. You know, the straits or whatever you're trying to call it. I think it's a perfect name for it. I'd want to see it stick.
I'm just going to put white dots down the east and west side.
Okay.
What about up in Elder Bean on the Mayaca at all?
Nothing.
All right. Any night fishing?
Nothing. They disappeared from the bridges.
All right. So that wraps that up.
There might be some down there at the Sanibel Causeway in the
but if we don't know,
Coral,
we can't say.
Yeah. No, definitely a little strange, but normal new moon, especially since this is the first, like, official new moon kickoff to tarpon season. You know, it's always that fourth week of April when you know you can, under normal situations, it's always that fourth week of April you can say, hey, you want to go tarpon fishing? Absolutely, because you got a good chance of it. Before that, it's always that, maybe, maybe not. So, being that it's a new moon with it, those fish are going to be stacked all over out there. But I'll bet you what was in the pass yesterday left with all that lightning last night. I'm sure it was. They probably came back in late this morning.
I didn't hear much lightning yesterday, but...
Oh, there was a lot last night.
Really?
Yeah.
And I didn't catch...
And then down in Fort Myers, they were getting creamed this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just a ton of lightning and some good thunder. I'm like, wow, that looks pretty good. Is that going to make it here? That looks like a Boca Grande. I look at the radar and I'm like, oh, that's like South Sanibel all through Fort Myers Beach. Wow. It's always deceiving when you're looking out the back of an eye. You kind of get a little discombobulated sometimes at the direction.
Well, I loaded the tarpon map. I'm loading the fishing report right now. So what else do we got to talk about?
Man, I think these next several days are going to be a little wind. I think tomorrow's supposed to be pretty nice, but the wind's supposed to pick back up again a little bit on Monday. But the water temperature is, what, 80? 81? Something like that. It's raising at a pretty alarming rate.
Yeah, I think this cloudy weather for the last couple of days will keep that from, it'll drop it a little bit without the solar radiation. And, you know, right now fishing's pretty good and it's very safe. The new guidelines, which I knew anyway, I mean, let's face it, UV rays kills pretty much everything, and the sun is UV rays. People say, well, I got to take some vitamin D. I said, go out, stand in the sun for a while.
Right.
I mean, gee, I need to, you know, I'm going to go to a tanning bed.
B, really? C, zinc, something, but really D?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go to a tanning bed and you live in Southwest Florida?
Yeah.
It's literally, you know, put
number
in a pair
one
of shorts.
Or number two for skin cancer in the United States. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a pair of shorts and go walk outside if you want your legs tan, you know? I mean, it only takes a half an hour.
Yeah.
And somebody would say, it's up, boy, don't you worry about having coronavirus in your car. I said, my car sits in the parking lot in the sun, well, my truck. And it's in the sun, and it's 140 degrees in there for several hours during the day. There ain't nothing lives inside that truck. I don't care what anybody says, you know.
Nope.
But be on the sun, you know, be healthy. That's where you should be, getting out, enjoying yourself, you know, that's what it's all about right now.
Right. That's exactly it.
And hopefully over the next month or two, we'll all be able to start traveling around a little bit. And if you're up north, love you guys, but stay up north for another week or two.
Yep.
Because look at it this way. I bought an RV to go traveling with, and I'm still in my freaking driveway. I have not traveled with it. So if I would like to go on vacation. I could do it nice right now. The gas is cheap. We've got a lot of help. We've been hiring people like crazy. And so I could go on vacation, but I'm not. So if I'm not, please, you don't. I'm not asking you to do anything that isn't driving me crazy as well.
Right.
But we look forward to seeing you as soon as it starts clearing up a little bit. And because truth is, the numbers in Charlotte County are still going up a little bit. So it's just probably not the right time to come here.
Right.
But soon come, man. We look forward to seeing everybody again. We have so many visitors we're wondering about. And so many of our snowbirds and our tourists and all the people that we see every year, time and time again. We hope everybody's safe, healthy, and are going to be coming back down soon.
Yeah.
But it's making me nuts. I want to go so bad. I want a vacation.
Yeah. And you deserve it more than anybody else that I know of.
I don't know if I deserve it, but I want it. And I'm going to be like 80% of the people. I want it. I want to do it. I want it there now. No,
I get it.
But anyway, everything's okay down here, boys and girls. You know, things are good. Things are bad. But for all in all, we're okay.
Yeah.
And like you say, hiring a lot of people, we're going to try and keep them on as long as possible, you know, until other jobs come back up and stuff like that. So, a lot of new faces. All right. Anything else, Robert?
Not too much. Just be safe. I think you said it pretty well.
I think the wife would like to see me leave for a while.
She's chuckling over there. That was pretty good.
I think she would like me to go to New York. Oh, that one she didn't agree with. All right.
Okay.
Well, see, she still loves me.
She still loves you a little bit.
All right. Oh, God, that's noisy. What the heck is up with that? How did it get so loud? I don't... Boy, I just can't control this thing the way I used to with the other board. Whoa, there it comes back loud. Now it's off. All right, slow down. Here we go. That's more reasonable. That time...